Thank you, Mr. Thuvenin. Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day out there today. Thank you. The title of the message today is Encourage, Comfort, and Build Up One Another. Courage, comfort, and build up one another. In the book of Hebrews, it does say, exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Referring to the end of the age, just seeing those things that Christ warned us of in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Luke 21. There will be a time when God's people will be able to see the day approaching. They'll look out into the world and they'll see things happening, events occurring, and it'll be clear to them that we're getting close to the end of the age. Now, right now in the world, there's a lot of evil, a lot of wicked things going on, and it's been this way for years. Just a few things that's this past week and the last few weeks. The stabbings in Israel this week, I'm sure everyone has heard about them. Young Palestinian teenagers coming over into Israel with knives and stabbing anyone that they could, knowing that they were going to be shot dead. But they wanted to even be martyrs. About more and more states now wanting to legalize marijuana. And it's been proven that in Colorado, it hasn't been a good thing. But next year, there's, I think, seven or eight more that's going to put it on the ballot. How about our own Supreme Court agreeing to allow same-sex marriages in every state? Floods in South Carolina. One news report said that those floods was the worst that they've had in over 1,000 years. I don't know who was keeping records 1,000 years ago, and I don't know how they found out about it. But that's what it said. Shootings in schools, it seems like this happens all the time. Russia fighting a war in the Middle East. I don't remember them fighting a war. It says, I think it was back in the 1960s was the last time they were in the Middle East fighting, but apparently I wasn't interested at that time. I don't remember that. But what's that going to end up being, you know, in the next few years or even months? How's that going to turn out? Refugees leaving Syria, flooding Europe, and then the United States is going to take thousands in this next year. Satan hates this world. He hates God. And he hates you and me. He hates the saints of God. I think I've mentioned before that maybe a year and a half or so ago, I decided I wanted to study the book of Revelation. Everything that's in it, all the symbols and that, I wanted to get that more clear in my mind. And so I've been reading it often, the book of Revelation and Daniel. And there's a verse in Revelation that, you know, I just don't understand. If you'll turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, and we'll start in verse 1. Revelation 20 and verse 1. It says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Then in verse 3 it says, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Why? We have him sealed up. He's not deceiving the nations anymore. He's not doing all his chaotic things. Why let him go free for a little while? I remember when we first started in the church, one of the explanations for why he was going to be released was that God had to cut short the days, for no flesh would be saved alive. And so apparently he's promised Satan so much time, so this short time that he's going to get at the end of the 1,000 years is to make up for that. That was one of the explanations. Now, verse 7, it says, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to see the nations which are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea." So after the 1,000 years, Satan is going to go out to the four corners of the earth and gather millions, it seems. So what are they going to do? "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints." There it is. There he is again, after the saints. He hates the saints. "And the beloved city, Jerusalem, and fire came down from God and devoured them all." Well, not Satan. We know what happens to Satan. He's going to be put into a place of abyss for eternity. Now that will be a little over 1,000 years from now. That hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. Now let's look at what's ahead just a few years from now in Revelation 12. And we'll start in verse 13, 12 and verse 13. Here again. "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman," the church, the saints, "who gave birth to the male child." Now we know, and I know you all know this, that these verses are so familiar to you, but God protects his church. But let's look at verse 17 now. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So the church, part of the church, was protected. In verse 17, this woman is still the church. But for some reason, they don't go to her place, or what we've always called the place of safety. Now, up in verse 7, it says that it was granted to him, now this is just in a few years from now, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Here again, he's after the saints, and these he overcomes. We only hope that that is physically and not spiritually. These people may have to give up their lives. I'm not going to go there, but if you want to write it down, Daniel 7, verse 21 and 25, talking about the same time as Revelations 12, 17, 7 here, 13, 7. It's talking about the beast at the end of the age. And it says that he is prevailing against the saints. It says that the saints, he shall persecute the saints, and they'll be given into his hands. So we see again that Satan, using the beast at the end time, goes after the saints. He hates the saints. Now you may be thinking, I thought you said the title was encourage, comfort, and build up. Those verses there, those weren't very comforting, you know, or encouraging at all. If anything, they were discouraging. Talking about the saints being taken over by Satan and perhaps lose their lives. But there is good news, and you know that. I don't want to go back to Revelations in chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. The church of brotherly love. Philadelphia church. Let's go to verse 10. Talking about good news now. Because you have kept my command to persevere. Now, the word persevere, I want to read some of the synonyms. It says, to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, or with little or no prospect of success. Persevered also could be persist, continue on, to keep going through, to struggle on, be persistent, be determined, be tenacious. Stand one's ground, stand firm, go the distance and stay the course. And so God, Jesus Christ, is saying here, because you have kept my command to persevere, to stay the course, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, let's go back to chapter 12 and look at these ones again. The dragon was enraged with the woman, verse 17, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God. They keep the commandments of God. They probably keep the holy days. Probably obey all the other laws that we know about. But something they didn't do. So there was something with them that the ones that go to her place had. And I believe it was perseverance. Because he said in chapter 3, because you kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial. It doesn't say I'll keep you from the 3.5 years of tribulation. It doesn't say I'll keep you from 42 months. It says from an hour of trial. Now, is that talking about when Satan is cast down from heaven? He's not allowed to go back to heaven anymore. And he does persecute the church. He goes after the church or after the woman. Perhaps at that time, the saints are going to have to suffer a little bit before God takes them to her place. But Christ says, I will keep you from the hour of trial. In verse 14, it says, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished. And I believe that's physically and spiritually. Mr. Waterhouse used to call it a place of final training. And they'll be there for 3.5 years. I want to go back over to 1 Thessalonians 4 in conclusion now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, seems Paul thought that he would be alive at that time, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. At that time, we see things going on in this world. We see Satan's trying to destroy the church and all the nations. We need to encourage one another. Remind each other that Jesus Christ is coming back. And then we will be with Him always. Verse 4:17. Paul also says, therefore comfort each other, edify or build up one another, just as you also are doing. I think the most comforting words that we'll ever hear when Jesus Christ returns and he looks at you and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord."